most people at Christmas, pretty much everybody in this room, will get one slightly shitty Christmas present, just slightly shitty Christmas present, usually for somebody who doesn't know you very well. And you look at it and you think, how did they? Why did they? What the fuck is a pomander? Now, last Christmas, my shitty Christmas present was off my fella.
Exactly.
And it was a long-handled metal shoehorn. Your guess is as good as mine. Now, if you get your shitty Christmas present off your Auntie Brenda, you have to go, thanks very much, Auntie Brenda. I'll be able to put my shoes on from a great height now. But the joy of it being off your partner is you're allowed to go, what the fuck is that? Which is what I did. And he said, you asked for it. I said, no, I bloody didn't. And this is where I found out something quite adorable about my fella. All year round, whenever I mention something like, fancy that DVD, or I might get myself that book, he makes a note of it in his phone. Aww. And when it comes to Christmas or birthdays, he picks a couple of things off the list and he buys me them as presents, which I just think is adorable. But it did mean that when I said to him, when did I ask for a long-handled metal shoehorn? He said, August the 8th. At 8 p.m. The only possible scenario I can think of where this might have happened is maybe I was trying a dress on that was a little bit too tight, and to try and make myself feel better and laugh it off, I said something like, ooh, could do with a shoehorn to get into this. And instead of giving me the cuddle that I clearly fucking needed, he made a note of it in his phone.
Shoehorn, that's what she wants.
You know, some people are tricky to buy for birthdays and things. If you have somebody in your life like this, then listen up, this next thing might be useful for you. We've got a birthday rule. Our birthday rule is that if it's your birthday, you get to make all of the decisions all day for both of you. So my fella's last birthday, his first decision, he said, I want a lie-in. Excellent, happy with that. We had a lie-in. Second decision, he said, I want a sausage sandwich, which was not the euphemism I was hoping it was. I was all like, should I be the bread? Oh, you're putting the grill on. Okay. Third decision, he wanted to go to Warwick Castle. Now, I'm sure some of you may well have been to Warwick Castle. I'm sure the castle part of it is an absolute delight. We didn't get to do that bit. The only bit he wanted to do was the dungeon. He likes reading horror stories. He likes watching horror films. I don't like any of that sort of thing. I don't like being scared. I'm not a massive fan of the dark, if I'm brutally honest. I'm a bit of a wuss. And I thought this whole experience is going to be horrible for me. But birthday rules, we have to go. So we go to Warwick Castle, and at the door to the dungeon is a man. And the man has fake blood on his face and hands and is dressed in some sort of costume. And being a little claustrophobic as I am, I thought this is about to include two of the things I hate the most. Enclosed spaces and fucking actors. Because it wasn't like a museum. It wasn't just glass cases with things in to look at and little bits of writing that you don't bother reading because it's boring. It wasn't like that. It's properly interactive. Every room had a different scenario. There were volunteers required throughout, and there was always a chance that somebody was going to jump out and frighten the living shit out of you. Now, I knew I was going to hate it, and it was proved right as soon as we started to walk in. Now, one thing to point out as well, I guess these tours normally have 10 or 12 or 15 people on them all going around as one. I don't know why, maybe just because it was a Tuesday, but it was only two of us. So every time they needed a volunteer, it was me or him or both of us. And also, it was the final tour of the day. We'd overheard a couple of the actors talking outside, saying that if we hadn't turned up, they would have all been able to go home an hour early. So they already didn't really like us. Now, we go down the stairs at the beginning, and I already hate it because it's dark, it smells funny, and there's sort of the walls are kind of running with water. It's horrible. Birthday rules, we have to do it, though. Now, we go into the first room. The first room is quite well lit. It's not too bad. It's a courtroom, and there's a man playing a judge and just me and my fella. We are both tried. I was tried for being a witch. Rude. And he was tried for weighing in a well. Apt. We are both sentenced to death, which I thought was a little harsh. But I thought, if it's all like this, this is going to be okay. Now, how wrong it can be. You go into the next room. The next room is completely pitch black. So dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And it's also completely silent. Now, I'd been linked into my fella holding on for dear life. Somebody came up behind us who we couldn't see and just unraveled us and separated us, put him over the other side of the room. So I couldn't see him. I couldn't touch him. But every now and again, I could hear him say, "You're going to be all right, you're going to be all right." Because he knew the state I was getting myself into. Already starting to shake quite a bit. Now, they left us in the darkness and the silence for about a minute, and then a bright white light flashed, and an old lady screamed in my face. I don't know which bit of history that's supposed to represent, but it felt very much like Christmas with me nana. We go in another couple of rooms. They're quite scary, but not too bad. One of the scariest parts of the whole experience is just a corridor between one room and the next. But it was dimly lit, and there were horrific things everywhere we looked, until we realised halfway along that they were mirrors. At one point, I'd whispered to my fella, "That monster's got my top on." Go in the final room. The final room is a hospital room. There is a bed with a body on it, and the body I've already clocked is a dummy, so it doesn't mean it can't move, but at least it's not going to jump out at me. And a man walks in and addresses us both, and he says, "I'm not the doctor." So I went, "Okay." Then he went, "The doctor died of the plague." "Ah." Then he went, "I'm the cook." And I thought, "Ooh, snacks." Apparently not. He said, "I'm the cook and I'm replacing the doctor because I'm the only other one who knows about anatomy." So I just went, "Promotion, well done." And he walked forward and he stood just in front of me. And he was so close to me, I could feel his breath on my face. And he looked at me and he said, "You don't look very well." And I crumpled. I've just got a bit of a cold. And then he said, "I think you need some treatment." "I'm taking dinners. And I've got some tunes in me handbag. Why don't you do it to him? It's his birthday." And then he said, "I think you need an operation." "Happy birthday to you, you shit." He took me by the hand, he sat me on a seat, and he pulled around us both a very thin white muslin curtain. We are within the curtain, my fella is on the outside of the curtain. We are now the show. My fella is the only audience member. This whole fucking thing is just for him. The cook pulls out a knife, this sort of size, like a dagger, and he shows it round the front of the curtain so my fella can see it really clearly. He brings it back round again and he presses a button on the chair behind me, which is the sound effect of a woman screaming. Pulls out another knife, maybe like a machete, this sort of size, and again he shows it round the front of the curtain so my fella can see it. Brings it back round again, presses another button of a woman screaming. Now, by this stage, I am physically shaking from head to toe. My palms are sweaty, and I feel quite sick. But all I can think is, I wonder what we're going to do for my fucking birthday. Because my birthday is after his, my birthday no longer becomes about what I actually might want to do, but about what he will fucking hate. Cook pulls out the final weapon as a scythe, huge like this. And again, he shows it round the front so my fella can see. He brings it back round again and presses the most blood-curdling scream of all. And I thought, I know this is fake, but I wonder what the expression on my fella's face is right now. And I could see him very clearly through the curtain. I looked at his face, and he was checking his phone for text messages. as we walked out, I said, I can't believe you were playing on your phone. He said, to be honest, I was just surprised I could get a signal down there. We got in the car to go home. I said, you know what we're going to do for my birthday? He said, no, I don't. What are we going to do for your birthday? I said, you know what we're going to do for my birthday? He said, I don't. What are we going to do for your birthday? I said, we're going to talk about our feelings for 9 fucking hours. As it happens, that's not what we did. My birthday rolled around a month later, and all I really wanted to do was wander around John Lewis. It's me happy place. Wanted to wander around the homeware section touching things. That's all I wanted to do. So we go to John Lewis, we're in the homeware section, but the whole time he is 3 or 4 paces behind me playing on his phone, and I thought, oh, this isn't fair. I was disemboweled on his fucking birthday. And I should have learned from earlier experience that it is not good to take shopping. On a previous occasion, we'd been in a different department store. I decided to look for a new dress. I picked 3 to try on and I parked them. You know, you can park your fella either at the shoes because there's seats there and they like that. Or you can park them at the fitting room because then there's sometimes another fella there and they can make a little friend. So I parked him at the fitting room. I took 3 dresses in to try on. I came out after each one to show him. After the first one, I said, what do you think of this one? And he went,
it's all right.
Keep pumping out compliments like that and we'll not get this big head back in the fucking car. When back in came back on the second one, I said, this is the second one. What do you think of this one? And he went,
it's nice.
I feel so pretty. Buckingham came back in the third one. I said, this is the best one. This is my favourite one. I've saved the best to last. What do you think of this one? And he went, yeah, yeah, you could wear that one outside. What did you think the other two were? Fucking nighties. So I should have learned from that experience, but I had not learned from that experience. We're now in John Lewis, in the homeware section, on my birthday, and he is 3 or 4 paces behind me, playing on his phone like a petulant teenager. And I turned around and I said, oh, this isn't on. He said, what's the matter with you? I said, no, this is my birthday. You need to pay attention. You need to be interested in things. You need to be present. And he said, sorry, love. And he put his phone in his pocket. He said, what are we looking at? Show us what we're looking at. And I said, I've been looking at the duvet covers and I found one that I liked. It was nice and bright and flowery. I said, I like this one. What do you think of that one? And he looked at it and he went, that's horrible. And I thought, well, I did ask for your opinion, I suppose.
Maybe you should get your fucking phone out again.
I said, I like it, what's horrible about it? And he looked at it again and he went, it's loud, it's gaudy, it's for children. And he must have seen my face just drop because this is not what my birthday was supposed to be. And he wanted to fix it because he is a lovely man after all. And he was so convinced that the next thing he said was going to make everything okay. He just went, it's very you though, love.